You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, October the 22nd. We will review and react to the latest results from the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. We released results today on the presidential race in Wisconsin. You can view the results on our website, WPR.org. The results say that Barack Obama has a big lead in Wisconsin over John McCain. We'll talk to two guests about the presidential poll, and we will also talk about the latest news on the presidential campaign trail. We will welcome in just a few minutes the heads of the Republican and Democratic parties in Wisconsin, and we will welcome your reactions and questions too. First, though, let me welcome in our analyst for the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, Wendy Scattergood, who is an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere and the analyst for the St. Norbert College Survey Center, and Wendy joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's do an overview. We started talking about these results early this morning, 6 o'clock this morning, but for those listeners just joining us, Barack Obama, 13 percentage points ahead of John McCain in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. 51% said that they would vote for Barack Obama, 38% for McCain, but also 4% said that they might vote for somebody else, and 5% still not sure.
Yeah, and are those who are going to be voting for a particular candidate set in their ways?
Particularly the Obama supporters, when we asked about how enthusiastic they were about their support, 60% of Barack Obama supporters said they were very enthusiastic compared to 38% of McCain supporters.
Yeah, and this this poll result is not unusual when it comes to polls for presidential preference in Wisconsin?
And we were right on, and with the trend line on with pollster.com for Wisconsin, we're also right on with them as well.
Yeah. So, is this over, Wendy Scattergood?
Well, I don't think so. And that is, I mean, while it looks, yeah, obviously this is a huge lead at this point, we still have those people who say they're going to vote for somebody else. Will they actually, or will they go into? And I think a lot of those people may be libertarians. And if they go in to the polling place, you know, they may cast their votes for McCain. Also, the not sure people. This is where the things happening in the next couple of weeks, if there are outside events that happen, et cetera. And we do expect normally what we'd see is a tightening up of the race in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And what about the issues? Why are we voting for Barack Obama over John McCain in Wisconsin?
Well, it's pretty clearly about the economy. When we asked what the most important issue, 61% said the economy was the number one issue in their presidential election choice. Healthcare at number two was way down at 7%. And then when we look at who would handle those issues better, that's where we find Barack Obama being ahead here, where 55% said that they feel that he would handle the economy better. 32% said McCain would handle it better. He also is ahead on taxes, healthcare, an unexpected major crisis, fixing the financial institutions, energy policy, and understanding issues that are important to the average citizen. Here we see a big difference here between Obama and McCain, 60% saying that Obama understands what's important to the average citizen versus 26% saying that John McCain has a better handle on that.
Yeah, McCain ahead, though, in the war and national security issues.
Correct.
Yeah. And we also asked about the vice presidential running mates, and what did we find?
Well, here we find that 70% think that Biden has what it takes to become president, whereas only 38% felt that Sarah Palin has what it takes to be president.
Yeah. And that was it when it came to the presidential poll results. We are going to be talking more tomorrow about the economy, more specifics in fixing those financial institutions, right,
mm-hmm.
Wendy Scattergood?
Right. We asked presidential approval and direction of the country, too, which I think is our other indicators of why Obama is probably leading at this point as well.
Right.
Only 8% think we're going in the right direction. 83% think we're going in the wrong direction.
So who in their right mind thinks we're going in the right direction?
Well, not very many people, and mostly they tend to be people who are feeling they're not feeling the crunch of the economic crisis as much. They don't think we're in crisis. They're not personally being affected. They tend to be a little bit more conservative politically in those kinds of issues.
Yeah. Any demographics interesting things to note on our survey and you know what you learned from the presidential preference questions?
Well, there was always the question about the Hillary voters, and are they going to go over to John McCain? And that was one of the things I thought was interesting, and that 14% of people who voted for Hillary Clinton in the primary say they're going to vote for John McCain. Another 8% of people who voted for Barack Obama in the primary say they're going to vote for John McCain. So I thought that was a little bit interesting. Some things that we're seeing at the national level as well is that there's quite an age difference, that the younger folks are much more supportive of Barack Obama. And women, that's not surprising because women tend to be a little bit more Democratic at this point, and we are seeing 58% of women say they're going to vote for Barack Obama versus 45% of men.
Interesting. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Wendy Scattergood, she is our analyst for the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, which we are releasing today and tomorrow for the fall of 08. All right, joining us in studio, Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And also joining us by phone, Mark Jefferson, executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. So, well, Joe Winicky, is this over? Has Barack Obama landed Wisconsin?
No, but I would say this. I like looking at these numbers from the Democrats' perspective a lot more than I suspect Mark likes looking at these numbers from the Republican perspective.
Is he right, Mark Jefferson?
Well, it's never fun playing from behind, but John McCain is still within striking distance. I mean, let's not forget that a year ago everyone was thinking his campaign was over in terms of running for the Republican nomination, and then he came back and in a big way and captured the nomination, and we believe that he has it in him again. Our base is enthusiastic. We are working very hard throughout the state. The volunteer base grows day by day. We're on pace in terms of voter contacts around the state to exceed what we did in 2004. So we've got a lot working for us, but there's no question that we've got a little ground to make up right now.
Now, Joe Winicky, why do you think Barack Obama is enjoying this kind of lead in Wisconsin, according to not just our poll, but other polls?
Well, to quote James Carville back all the way in 1992, it's the economy, stupid.
It's the stupid economy.
It's 60% in this poll. And, you know, one of the fascinating things about the St. Norbert's poll that was released today is how closely it tracks both state polls in Wisconsin that outside of this one and current national polls. You know, Pew came out, which is a very reputable poll, yesterday with Obama with a 14-point national lead. The Wall Street Journal NBC poll came out this morning, 10 points. Zogby came out, 10 points. In the state of Wisconsin, I think the last seven polls, six of them have had Obama with a double-digit lead. One came out yesterday from Survey USA or somebody, Research 2000, one of those came out with an 8-point lead. So it's clear that this is not an outlier poll. So then the question is why, and I think it's two things. One, I think Obama has really won the debate over who will help you economically. And two, Obama did what Ronald Reagan did in 1980 in the three presidential debates. When there were questions about because of age and experience, you have to go into those debates and prove to the American people that you have the right stuff. Well, Obama clearly showed he had the right stuff in those debates, and then that issue about experience went away.
So you want to disagree with any of that, Mark Jefferson?
Well, there's a little bit. I agree with him in terms of Obama certainly looked good in his presentations in the debates. And in terms of the polling, I also agree that Wisconsin is not far off the national average. And that's why we kind of remain a swing state, because as the numbers, and I think what Wendy said earlier I agree with, as the numbers probably inevitably get closer towards Election Day, Wisconsin will get closer as well. And Wisconsin remains one of those swing states because we're really right on the national average. So I expect it to get closer in Wisconsin. I saw the poll yesterday, Survey USA had it within 8 points. That Survey USA poll, and I can't help but bring up, was more recent than the one we're discussing here today. So I think you could see signs that the numbers are starting to close already. But there's no question that the economy is a top issue as we head for Election Day. And I think John McCain has an opportunity to actually make up some ground here. The polls suggest that Barack Obama has a tighter message right now. But when we start looking at the substance of it, I think John McCain has an opportunity to really make up some ground.
And Joy, I want to just touch on one other thing that, you know, Wendy talked what she thought was striking this poll. There's one number that just stands out to me, and it's President Bush. 4% of the people in this poll are very satisfied with his presidency. 50% are very unsatisfied. And when you have a right track, wrong track of 83-8, mm-hmm. you are in big trouble if you are the representative of the party in power in the presidency. And I just view that as another plus for Senator Obama. But saying that, you know, I've watched two elections in a row in this state where the Democrats won by 6,511 votes. And I'm encouraging anybody who's doing happy days or here again to say, no, you get out and work for the next 13 days, and then you can sing with me on November 4th about 11 o'clock.
Yeah, well, even Barack Obama is saying, don't get cocky, remember New Hampshire, where he was ahead in the polls and then in the primaries, and then Hillary Clinton beat mm-hmm. him. Yeah. Anything further, Mark Jefferson, on that?
Well, I think, obviously, the Obama campaign is trying very hard to link John McCain to George Bush. I think John McCain has a very effective message in terms of him not being a third term of George Bush, and I think his record has proven that, from his differences on immigration to campaign finance, drilling in Anwar, funding for stem cell research, climate change, this bailout bill where he stood up to the president and worked to make it a better bill. He has a lot of things he can point to.
He voted for it, Mark.
Oh, he voted for it after he changed it. So I think you can look at a lot of things where John McCain has been different from the president, shows a new direction, and really has shown that when you look over the last 10 years or so, every major compromise between the two parties has been something that John McCain has had a strong involvement in. Yeah.
Well, Joy, I wanted to be a history teacher when I grew up, and I never quite did. And all I know is that according to Congressional Quarterly, which is a nonpartisan, pretty good source of information, John McCain voted with George Bush 91% of the time the last 8 years. And even in my one-room schoolhouse, that was either an A or an AB rating.
It hardly shows differences.
Joe,
of course, what that doesn't tell is the fact that a lot of these bills, in fact, I would argue probably most of them, are unanimous or near unanimous that pass in the Senate.
Let me ask you before we need to take a
good
break.
Good luck on that one.
In just a moment. Joe Winicky, Barack Obama had to cancel his Thursday
sure.
rally in Madison because his grandmother is ailing mm-hmm. and he wants to go to Hawaii to see her. Will that affect the race in Wisconsin in any way? And will
Who
that
knows, and he may still come. We don't know right now. I think Mark would agree with me. If it was my family, I think Barack Obama is doing the right thing. His grandmother raised him for a number of years, and he should be going to her.
Mm-hmm. I had a few people question me on the day that he made that announcement that he wasn't coming and trying to serve me up a softball to trash
right.
Obama, and I couldn't do that. He made a family decision that he had to make, and it's hard to argue with. I do not interpret it as some tried to suggest that he thinks Wisconsin is in the bag. I think both campaigns understand.
He's going to see Grandma, right, Mark?
That's right. I think both campaigns understand that this is going to be a very close state at the end. As the national numbers get closer, so will Wisconsin.
We are talking with Mark Jefferson, Executive Director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and Joe Winicky, the Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, talking about the race for the White House as it travels through Wisconsin, and having both of them react to the latest numbers from the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll showing Barack Obama with a 51% to 38% lead over John McCain in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number if you have a thought, a question, a reaction for our guests about presidential campaign politics, or send an email, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you will join us Friday in Stevens Point. We are going to be on the campaign trail ourselves, the joyride going to Stevens Point this week. We will be broadcasting live from the UW Stevens Point Student Center from 6 until 9, talking about trivia, talking about politics, doing our Week in Review program on location in Stevens Point. If you're anywhere in the area and you'd like to watch the program, we hope you stop by. Certainly free, open to the public, and we hope to see you in Stevens Point on Friday. More information on our website, WPR.org. More information about our poll results on our website as well, WPR.org, if you'd like to see all the questions we asked and when we asked them and all of the nuts and bolts about the presidential race in Wisconsin. We're getting both of our guests to react to those numbers and to talk about the presidential campaign, Joe Winicky from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and Mark Jefferson from the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And let's go to the phones. Debbie in Appleton is with us first. Hi, Debbie. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Thank you for having me on the call. My question is for Mark. I was reading somewhere yesterday, and I saw that it said that McCain wasn't buying any more ads in Wisconsin. And he's just going to be stretching out the last few ads that he's already purchased for this week out to the election day. So, I mean, does this mean effectively that he's conceding Wisconsin at this point? I know that you said that it was going to get tighter, but I mean, if he's not buying any more ads, then wouldn't that essentially be a signal that he's conceding?
Yeah, thanks very much, Debbie. It was the Republican National Committee that was pulling out, wasn't it? Or no, McCain too, Mark Jefferson.
Well, it's my understanding that McCain has bought up through, the last I heard was October 26th.
Yeah,
and they
right.
usually make these buys in kind of one-week intervals, as I recall. I'm not sure. I can't speak specifically as to what McCain's buys are. I am told that they're a little lighter and that they may re-up and make them heavier again. But the TV advertising, of course, is just one of many things that are going on right now. We're doing voter contacts here where we are making over 100,000 voter contacts a week over the phone alone with live volunteers, identifying voters and talking to undecided voters. That's a rate higher than we were doing even in 2004. We have a very energized volunteer base. We are up on radio, phones, and mail. So there's a lot going on beyond the TV ads. It's oftentimes easy to get caught up in those ads. But there's a lot going on.
Yeah, what about those robots?
Oh, I wanted to get into those.
Okay.
Oh, I knew it was coming anyway, so why avoid it?
So the robocalls say that Barack Obama pals around with terrorists, essentially.
Well, now, the robocalls, I can't speak specifically to them, only insofar as the RNC and the McCain campaign, I understand, sent those out last week. The RPW did not, but there's... I think the character issue is one that is often explored in campaigns. I can remember in 2006, my friend and counterpart on today's show sullying Mark Green by bringing up his campaign manager and ties to supposedly Jack Abramoff, despite the fact that the staff person had never met Abramoff.
Well, then why do you keep getting those tickets
and,
to those Wizards
Democrats
games?
Democrats are going to have a hard time crying foul on this one.
Well, you're going to cry foul on the Robo Calls, Joe Winicky?
I mean, my goodness, and you know, I'm glad they're making their 100,000 calls, and you know the Obama campaign's doing about 300,000 calls a week, but that's fine. But these robocalls, calling a potential president of the United States a terrorist,
and that's what they call him, a terrorist.
Yes, yes, they do. Anybody who's listening to this who's gotten one of those calls knows what the clear implication is. He's palling around because when he was 8 years old, Bill Ayers was part of the Weather Underground. That firm makes him a terrorist.
I think in 2001, he was not denouncing the Underground. In fact, said that he wished they had done more. So I think the 8-year-old argument kind of goes out the window. And he knew, you know, the fact that this happened when he was 8 years old, you know something about a person's character at that point, and you decide who you're going to hang out with.
When you're 8 years old?
Yeah. Hey, he did not denounce that. If there were someone who had committed a horrible crime when I was 8 years old, I would probably think twice about hanging out with that person when I was 25.
Do you really think he knew who Bill Ayers was when he was 8?
I knew who Willie Mays was,
and that was about it.
So why is this a legitimate campaign issue, Mark Jefferson?
I'm sorry, was that directed to me?
Yes.
It goes to the character of who you associate with and it goes to your judgment. And these are the types of things that come up in campaigns. And I think to single this issue out as though this is the first time this type of issue had ever come up in a campaign, when we have an evidence of the Democrats doing virtually the same exact thing 2 years ago, only they were going after campaign staff instead of the candidate, which I think is an even more indirect shot, and arguably much worse, I think is just absurd.
Well, come on. The campaign manager, Mark Grahl, was taking freebies from Jack Abramoff's office.
He had never even met Jack Abramoff.
Did he take the freebie? Did he take the freebies to the Bullets
like
games or not?
Jack Abramoff's state was absurd.
All right. Well, we'll stay in present year for the time being. Nate in Stevens Point. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question for Mr. Winicky. I've heard that the Obama campaign has one of the most sophisticated get-out-the-vote operations in the history of campaigns. I was just wondering if this is true for Wisconsin and how it will help Senator Obama here on Election Day.
Well, that's an amazing, amazing thing. I've never seen anything like it, and I've been around this game for 30 years. We have 50 offices around the state. We have over, I think, 10,000 people now that committed to give 10 hours a week for the last 6 weeks. Every office you go to is just humming and buzzing. I have a friend who's 73 years old who never even got involved in a campaign for me, but she's out there making phone calls for Barack Obama. And it's just an amazing thing. The organizational effort is so big. But the thing, and I'll touch on this, Nate, and then I'll stop, that amazes me the most are how this is a bottom-up operation. That this is, like, normally a campaign things, you know, it's the labor union guys and all this other stuff doing the work. Most of the people I see in these campaign offices I've never seen before, and I think it's wonderful.
Do you think it's wonderful, Mark Jefferson?
Well, I can only point to our own campaign, and while the Obama campaign got an earlier start in this state, the way that our volunteers, the way that our activists and folks who really care deeply about the future of this country are coming together, getting signs up, making phone calls, and we'll be redoubling and tripling our efforts in the days leading up to the campaign is really astonishing, and it's really something to see, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Hey, Joy, this is not aimed at Mark or anything, but, you know, if you are tired of this in the last 10 days, there's a real simple solution. Turn off your phone, turn off the TV, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it gets pretty intense, and I think Mark would agree. It's going to be very intense this year.
Yeah, nobody's going to get much sleep in the political world.
Edith in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. My question, and, well, first a comment to Joe Winicky, is that I have in front of me Greg Palast's brochure, Steal Back Your Vote, within which it states that President Bush's Help America Vote Act enabled the secretaries of state of every state in the union to do what Catherine Harris did in 2000 in Florida, and that is eradicate from the voter rolls thousands upon thousands of registered voters, particularly Democrats. Yeah. I also have in hand an application for an absentee ballot application sent to me by the Republican Party.
Yeah,
of
Edith,
Wisconsin.
My wife got one of those too, but they didn't send one to me at least.
Well, anyway, I want to know what the Democratic Party is going to do in Wisconsin to assure every registered Democrat who votes that that person's vote will count.
Well, it's going to count. And first of all, there's a couple of small discrepancies from that scenario. One, it's not the Secretary of State in Wisconsin who does election law, although in most states it is. Mm-hmm. Here it's our Government Accountability Board, which is a relatively new entity. It was the Attorney General, J.B. Van Hollen, that filed suit against the Government Accountability Board about 6 weeks ago or so, and trying to make them enforce the so-called HAVA restrictions, except that the HAVA restrictions do not restrict based on mismatches on election law. The United States Supreme Court protected that right in the state of Ohio. The Government Accountability Board here in Wisconsin just recently came out with their ruling saying that a mismatch, i.e., Edith, if your name was Edie versus Edith on the thing and they didn't have you registered right, they can't take away your right to vote for that. So I think, as long as people understand this, and I think it is critically important, if you're being hassled at the polls, just stick it out. It's only one day out of 4 years. Your vote will count. There have been no changes on registration rules in the state. I think Mark would agree with that, that, you know, how what you needed to be able to show that you're an eligible voter, you can register at the polls, is the same as it was 4 years ago. So I'm not very happy with J.B. Van Hollen's actions, but and the final thing is we will have lawyers in every county in the state making sure that you have that right to vote.
Yeah. Mark Jefferson.
Well, we'll also have lawyers throughout the state as well. We have taken the firm position that we want to make it easy to vote and harder to cheat in this state, and we're going to stand by that. We do think that the HAVA requirements should be enforced. We do think that people who are interested in fair and clean elections should be very happy and with the courage that J.B. Van Hollen has shown in trying to get the law enforced in this state. But I think getting some of these voter rolls, some of these people who were registered off the voter rolls. In fact, Milwaukee has voluntarily done that, where they found 2,600 names of people who were registered at addresses that don't exist, underpasses, hot dog stands, parking ramps. And after we had put pressure on them to look at those voter rolls, they've decided that they're going to take those off and clean up their lists, and we think that's progress. So we're not trying to discourage anyone from voting, and I agree with what Joe said. I mean, we've got people out there who also feel intimidated and harassed from time to time at the polls on the Republican side, and stick it out. Let's have a big turnout on Tuesday the 4th, and I feel good about our chances if we have one.
I would remind everyone that this so-called independent fighter for you, J.B. Van Hollen, is the co-chair of the McCain campaign in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, I think the people understand that the Attorney General's position is a partisan one, always has been. He is a Republican, and it's not unusual for a statewide office holder to endorse someone of their own party.
Then
I believe
Jim Doyle
may have an active role in the Obama campaign.
Then he should have recused himself from that lawsuit, Mark. Somebody else in that department could have done it, but J.B. Van Hollen's name should not be anywhere near that because it stinks of partisanship.
He has just, well, the Democrats are going to accuse him of that anyway. So
he's the co-chair of the McCain campaign.
We have a related issue, so let me move on to Margie in Franklin. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm afraid I'm calling to disagree with a few things, too. My family received an absentee ballot on Monday this week, mm-hmm. and it's from the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and it says, in today's dangerous world, appeasement is not a foreign policy. Protect America, vote. And the flip side has this dark, complected man with dark eyebrows, and you just see his nose, eyes, and eyebrow. And it says, America must look evil in the eye and never flinch. And I'm sorry, but that is Barack Obama's face. And
it isn't. It's pretty darn close, isn't it?
I am so disgusted. I am really tired of the scare tactics that the Republican Party is using. And I voted for Bush twice.
All right, Mark Jefferson.
Well, I'm sitting here at my desk with a stack of negative campaign mail sent out by the Obama campaign and the unions with some not very flattering pictures of John McCain. I don't think that what you're seeing is out of the ordinary. Yes, there is some of this stuff that is hard-hitting from both sides, but I think the Democrats are again crying foul on something that they're certainly not any better at, and I would argue worse.
Well, just keep sending those absentee ballot requests out, Mark, because I've never had anything that seems to galvanize our people more than when my wife says, why are these crazy Republicans sending me an absentee ballot? And
we
by the way, to your credit on this one, Mark, the clerk's address was correct.
See, look at that.
Yeah. At least on that one.
I'd heard about it. In Wisconsin, again, we're trying to get as many people out to the polls as possible on the Republican side. People don't register as Democrats or Republicans in this state, so you do the best you can to try and identify some people. We've mailed well over 1 million people with those types of forms, and obviously they're not all going to be right, but if the list that the Government Accountability Board was using was as accurate as the ones we're using, we probably wouldn't have a lawsuit right now.
Let me take another caller. Dave in Menominee. Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to bring up this false outrage on the Republican side about this registration, trying to create this illusion that this registration problem is actually going to turn into votes. I mean, if the guy's registered 17 times...
As Mickey Mouse.
Or even his own name, he's only going to be able to vote once. We have to understand, Acorn just hired these people, low-income people, and they were paid by either how many sheets they filled out with names or by how many names they came up with. So, exactly, if Mickey Mouse is on there, Bill Clinton, or anybody made up, if it's a false address.
What if it's a Bill Smith? Anyway, Mark Jefferson, is this Acorn registration flap much to do about nothing?
I think it's a real problem. The Mickey Mouse registration maybe is a mockery of the system, but it probably isn't going to result in a fraudulent vote. But Bill Smith registered 17 times, or whoever, could be. If someone could vote under that name in different places around the state, that becomes a problem. We want to make those lists as accurate as possible. Let's not forget, we're one of only two states that have that don't require a photo ID and is a same-day registration state. We make it easy to vote in this state, as we should. So I don't think it's undue burden on anyone to try and make these lists as accurate as possible.
Yeah, why is it, Joe Winicky?
Well, you know, if you are signed up as a deputy, and somebody fills out a form and they cause mischief, you're still supposed to turn that in, because you've been deputized to do just that. If somebody's having some fun with this, the point is, they might have some fun with it. The person has to turn it in. And I wish Acorn didn't have a quota system, to be honest, because I think it gives the appearance of something that's not real. But, you know, it's classic Republican stuff. You know, the economy's the big issue, and they're worrying about some group that registers poor people.
All right, let me take a short break because it's break time. Talking with Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and Mark Jefferson, executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, talking about politics in Wisconsin, focusing mainly on the presidential race and the results of our new Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll showing Barack Obama with a 51% to 38% lead over John McCain in Wisconsin. But our callers have other ideas, and we're touching on a number of issues. Latest news from the campaign trail, and we will be talking about some ads that we're seeing in Wisconsin for state assembly, too. A caller wants to talk about that. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. You're listening to The Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. Kathleen and her guests will discuss the proposed health care plans of Senators Barack Obama and John McCain. That's coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. We're talking about politics in Wisconsin with Joe Winicky from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and Mark Jefferson from the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. I just finished an interview with Steve Kagan, the Democratic U.S. Representative, the incumbent in Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. John Gard, the former Assembly Speaker, his Republican challenger, a rematch of 2 years ago when it was pretty close. I'm wondering, Joe Winicky, I saw a poll that showed that race, though it was considered the most competitive in Wisconsin at the start of the election season, is actually going quite a bit in the favor of Steve Kagan. Is that what you're seeing?
I believe that's correct, although it still is the most competitive of the congressional seats in Wisconsin. But I think Steve Kagan's run a very smart campaign. He stuck with the message that he started with relating to earmarks and the like. I happened to hear his interview with you, and I think he's in a real good position right now. But I know he wants everybody to hear what I'm about to say, is this was a close election last time. It has the potential to be a close election this time. And don't you sit on your butts. Get out and vote.
Mm-hmm. Any comment on the 8th, Mark Jefferson, or other congressional?
I think it's going to be a very competitive race again. It'll probably be a coin toss on Election Day. The race is much closer than some of these polls that have been made public suggest. There have been other polls made public as well that show it within the margin of error, and I think that's where it is. This is a district that, we can't forget, has been represented by a Democrat 8 of the last 100 years. It's a leaning Republican seat. We're going to have a better Republican turnout in that district this time around, and I think John Gard's record, and his values better fit the people of that district, and that's why I think he's going
to
win.
To quote Bob Dylan, the times, they are a-changing.
Well, are we going to see any other surprises on Election Day in Wisconsin for races for Congress or anywhere?
Well, it's hard to say. I think Marge Krupp is giving a better race to against Paul Ryan than people give her credit for in some instances. I think she's working hard, and that would probably be the next closest race as I see it. I don't see any Democrats in any trouble at all. I think where you're going to find interest is going to be when we get down to the state legislative level.
Now, let me bring in a caller who wants to talk about the state legislative level. Chris in Fort Atkinson. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. My question's for Mr. Winicky. I understand that there are a number of outside groups from Virginia and Michigan running ads in Wisconsin falsely accusing Democratic Assembly candidates of supporting free health care for illegal immigrants. And my question is, why are these out-of-state groups running ads in Wisconsin?
Well, I think the main group, the Virginia group, I think, is a relatively new one. This All Children Matter, which got fined, I think, $4 million in the state of Ohio in the last election cycle, is largely made up of money from the Amway fortune, and I believe some money coming in from the Walmart fortunes. And they're running these goofy ads where they're trying to take candidates who are challengers or in open seats as if somehow that they are supporting some plan. I mean, they use up the old bogeyman of welfare and illegal immigration. Illegal immigration is a national issue. It's not a state issue. But what they're trying to do is scare people into thinking these people are not with them. And, you know, shame on them. I mean, it's nasty, nasty, nasty stuff. But at least I wish they'd be from Wisconsin.
Mark Jefferson?
It's always painful to listen to the Democrats cry foul when there are so many of the same things going on their side of the aisle.
Which ads are not being paid for by groups from Wisconsin?
Oh, but it's okay for GWC when we have no idea where their money comes from to come in. It's
where
okay
does,
because they're a Democrat
Where does the State Teachers Association get their money from?
And Wisconsin Education Association Council is really the group that started all of this off 20, 25 years ago when they had the field to themselves, and now we have all these other groups coming in because they see what WEAC did when they had the field to themselves and how they tilted the
legislature. Every one of those dollars comes as a voluntary contribution from a member
of the
union.
I don't like it any better than you do, but to suggest that it just goes on the Republican side,
every
group, simply can't carry any weight.
Every group that I have seen in this race that are supporting Democratic candidates are domiciled here in the state of Wisconsin. None of the groups that are helping your side, unless WMC gets in with their corporate money again, are domiciled here in
really?
The state of Wisconsin.
Now, GWC, you can't say that for sure because you have no idea where GWC gets their money.
It's domiciled in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, who cares where the checks get written from? The money could come from anywhere.
I know that a lot of people on this program say that they can't stand seeing these kinds of ads, and especially... I won't even say they're just the 527s. It's just any kind of negative ads like this. What is it that you think the state of Wisconsin should or can do about them, Joe Winicky?
I think we ought to regulate issue ads and require disclosure of their donors.
Yeah, what about you, Mark?
Well, to some degree, I think that probably is okay, but I think we have to have a level playing field. There is a First Amendment right. I will say that Joe Winicky, actually, there may not be much that I agree with Joe on, but I've heard him say many times people should turn their TV sets off on about the 13th of October. There might be something to that.
Watch the World Series. But I think, you know, the issue is... on these is disclosure of who's paying for those ads. And I don't think the Republican Party supports me on that, unless something's changed. We want to know whether it's a Democratic-leaning group or a Republican-leaning group, who's giving them the money. And if we knew, a lot of those sources would dry up.
You mentioned Joe Winicky before we went into the ad discussion that
First time it got heated in the whole hour.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What about the state legislative level? You thought that there were going to be some surprises on that level?
Well, I think and Mark and I will disagree on this. I know that. We did a really good job of recruitment. We fielded candidates in 92 of the 99 assembly seats and virtually all the Senate seats, and we recruited really good candidates. And part of how this may go will be somewhat dictated by how the presidential election goes, because this is an unusual year. I call it the witching year. for politics in Wisconsin, because you don't have any statewide top of the ticket races. You don't have a governor's race, U.S. Senate race, attorney general, any of those other things that draw out voters. So because there's only one really close, potentially close, I don't think it's as close as Mark thinks, congressional race, in most areas of the state, it's going to literally drop down from interest. The drawdown is going to go from president to state senate or even state assembly. And you get 30 to 40% more voters voting in a presidential election. Many of them don't spend that much time on assembly races. Mm-hmm. If Barack Obama holds this Wisconsin Public Radio number, the Republicans will not control either house of the legislature, and perhaps by a pretty good margin.
So Barack Obama might have coattails down to the
if he holds those kind of numbers.
Right.
That's the point.
Mark Jefferson?
Wisconsin has traditionally been a state that really hasn't provided many coattails. Even when Tommy Thompson was rolling with over 60% of the vote, it was difficult for Republicans to get coattails. And when Democrats have done well with, for example, Clinton in 96 and Clinton and Feingold in 92, the Democrats had no coattails either. For example, the Assembly picked up six seats in 1992, picked up one seat when they had the majority in 1996. Where we've been successful is delivering our own message directly to the candidates. We've had a very good recruiting year here this time around. I'd be happy to put our recruiting class up against the Assembly Democrats this time around.
I'll take you on that one. But both Bill Clinton's elections, he never got 50% of the vote. You know, when you added the George Bush and Ross Perot vote, and I would argue a good chunk of the Ross Perot vote was a pretty conservative vote. In places like Wisconsin, a majority of the voters for those two candidates were, in fact, much more conservative than Bill Clinton, and that might have been how you pulled that off.
I don't remember what the numbers were in the 92 U.S. Senate race, but I think Feingold ended up with a 57 or something like that.
I think it was 53-46.
Well, I think it was bigger than that, but you could be right. But nevertheless, the...
That Kasten guy, who I always thought was a horrible candidate, did make a comeback at the end.
The margin... but the margins have been pretty substantial, and the Assembly Republicans have picked up Assembly seats in each of the last four presidential elections. So a big turnout we can deal with as long as our folks are out there working hard, knocking on doors. If you're an Assembly Republican candidate right now, get out there on the doors and turn off your radio, because we've got a long 2 weeks ahead, and I think we can pick up seats.
Okay, prediction time, Joy. Democrats are going to win seven seats in the state assembly and two in the Senate.
All right, I wrote it down. We'll keep you to it. You want to have a prediction, Mark Jefferson?
I think we're going to be between 52 and 54 in the assembly.
I think we are, too. I think we're going to be at about 54, but it's going to be a Democratic majority.
It will be interesting to see. Back to the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert poll, I forgot to ask both of you, and I want to bring it back to the national ticket. We asked whether we thought Sarah Palin or Joe Biden had the right stuff to be president. We thought 70% of us thought Joe Biden was ready to be president, but only 38% thought Sarah Palin was ready to be president. I'm wondering, Mark Jefferson, if you think that's affecting the John McCain in any way.
Well, I think this is a race between John McCain and Barack Obama, and I don't think the vice presidential stuff matters that as much. That being said, she has... the traditional struggle that all governors have. When Jimmy Carter was running for president, he was just a governor from Georgia. What did he know about foreign affairs in a shaky, volatile world? Ronald Reagan, this cowboy who was governor of California, he didn't have any foreign policy experience. What's a governor of Arkansas know about foreign policy? But the fact is, a chief executive has had experience running government, and she's had more chief executive experience than anyone else on either ticket, in a state that's very important in our energy crisis right now, someone who's about as far outside the beltway as you can get. And I would argue, just because she's not from a state that's covered by the media very much does not mean she's not qualified. So I think she'll be just fine.
And she can see Russia from her state.
Yes, she can.
Oh, my. That's yes, we can, and that's our line, Jefferson. You can't steal that.
All right, let's talk, Joe Winicky, about what Joe Biden said the other day to some potential donors in Seattle, where he said, mark my words, Barack Obama will be tested in the first 6 months of his administration. And he said much more than that. But
yeah, he also said, and he'll pass that test with flying colors. And my Republican friends just used the first part of that to say, oh, my God, they're saying that there's going to be a crisis. Well, my goodness, we're having a crisis every third day in this country under the Bush administration. I've never seen such a crazy scenario of financial meltdown.
Was it still, though, a smart thing for Joe Biden to talk about being tested and, you know, bring up that issue when everybody's focused on the economy?
If you look at your own poll on that very question, Barack Obama beats John McCain by 7 points on an unexpected test like that. So, great. Maybe Joe Biden knew more than the Republicans thought.
He might have seen our poll results. Mark Jefferson?
I do agree with Joe insofar as the economy is going to be the dominant issue down the stretch here. I think that John McCain has a very important message that he needs to focus on and hone in on, whether it's energy independence, whether it's open trade and free fair trade agreements and punishing those countries that don't live by them, that harms American workers, whether it's controlling spending. The earmarks are a very small part, admittedly, of controlling spending, but it is part of changing the culture in Washington that shouldn't be swept under the rug, and controlling taxes in this country. And I just think that John McCain, if he gets on the economic message down a stretch, can really close these numbers fast.
Mark, you just gave 10 times more articulate of a message of what he should do than he does.
I do what I can, Joe. But
McCain's changing every day. You gave a good articulate message, or what's he doing?
Well, see, that's why I sent that absentee ballot to your house.
Let's take a call. John in Washera County. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I don't see how anyone could possibly consider a Republican vote after the last 8 years. It has brought dishonesty to a new level and a definition. You've lost the public trust, and Republicanism is close to being null and void. You know, I think a level, it takes it past a level of nationalism to a point where I would call it Capianism.
John, we're almost out of time. Did you have a question?
Well, my question is, let's put a wrap on this election. We know where it's going. I'm interested in who's out there for 2016.
God, I'm not. How about you, Jefferson? I'm kind of waiting for this one to get over.
Well, yeah, I see why folks in our position do this for a couple cycles. The intensity is really something to behold.
And
I, of course, disagree pretty vehemently with what the caller had to say. Congress has been controlled by Democrats for the last 2 years. It's a split government right now, and I think the economy in the last 2 years has gotten worse. And to point it all in one direction, I think, is fallacy.
Well, that's nice. And I do admit, this is not fun times when you're in Mark's position and mine. You work very hard and you get yelled at a lot. Isn't that true?
Yeah, and you yell at each other a little. So
I'll get in trouble with Jefferson. My guys won't care, but I like the guy.
Yes, there we go.
No, and all those Republicans out there saying, Winicky likes him. God, let's fire his.
Exactly.
Well, Mark Jefferson, Joe Winicky, I hope that you will come back after the election, after you get a little sleep. All right. Thanks very much for being
with
us.
Thank you.
Mark Jefferson, Executive Director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and Joe Winicky, Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and Rob for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening. We will have more on the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll tomorrow, all morning long, between 6 and 9, different topics, different guests, as we look at the economy, the financial meltdown, and what's happened, and where do we go from here. That's tomorrow on this program. I hope you will join us for that. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.